So what do you see when you picture Jesus preaching on the hillside? What does that look like in your mental picture? I see Jesus with a huge grin from one side of his face to the other. I see him with this contagious kind of joy that he's trying almost to stifle. He's speaking with that kind of anticipation and happiness we feel when we want to give somebody a gift we know they're going to love. Have you had that experience? Giving someone a gift you just can't wait to give them. When our daughter, Sarah, was in junior high school, she was having a bit of a rough time, like everybody does in junior high school, and her mother and I decided she needed a puppy. Because a puppy changes everything, right? A puppy can solve almost any woes. My middle daughter was on the student council of her college campus, and she decided during finals week that the student council would host puppies on campus so that kids could take a break and hold a puppy in between final exams, and it really changed their demeanor. So I remember the morning we were going to give this puppy to Sarah. She was going to school. It was a school day for her birthday, but all the family was in on it. I had arranged with a breeder to pick up the puppy at 6 a.m. and to bring it over. We all came down the stairs to her basement bedroom, climbed on the bed, and dropped this yellow lab onto her to wake her up. You can imagine our anticipation of her expression. What would she think? What would she feel when she realized that this was hers? That, I think, is Jesus' demeanor as he gives this sermon, these Beatitudes. He's thinking to himself, this is going to be great. You see, the Sermon on the Mount begins not on the hillside, but in the valley. We need to remind ourselves what Jesus has been doing in order to understand what he's saying in his Beatitudes. So just in these verses before the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, we're reminded in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus went throughout Galilee. We talked about this last week. Curing every disease and every sickness among the people. They brought to him all kinds of various diseases. People with pain, demoniacs, people with epilepsy, people who were paralyzed. And Jesus cured them all. Jesus has been touching people, helping people, healing them. You might think of Jesus a little bit like Pope Francis, although I know the reflection actually is supposed to go the other way. But Pope Francis is before us right now, and he is coming to the United States, is it this week, sometime soon. His security detail has a really hard time feeling like they keep him safe because the Pope sees himself as a pastor. And as pastor, he needs to be among his people. And so he keeps thrusting himself into the crowds rather than riding in the safety of the bulletproof Pope-mobile. And his detail struggles with that. Jesus has been out among the people. He's been touching them. They've been touching him. Power has been flowing from God through Jesus, healing them and curing them all. And so Jesus now climbs from that valley, from that time of touch and healing and help, up onto the hillside to address these people he's been helping, to help them understand what these miracles mean. And so he's got this big grin on his face as he says these things that seem like polar opposites. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, because they are going to inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled with all the rightness of God. You have to imagine that as Jesus is saying these words, announcing these blessings, he is pointing to people in the crowd who just experienced these blessings through him. They're all there. And he's pointing to them as he announces these blessings. You know what it's like when you feel like a sermon was written just for you? It's exciting. It's a little scary.
You will say to me at the door, Pastor, you spoke right to me. You ask, have I been reading your mail? No, I've been reading your journals. You feel as if maybe you've been singled out, that perhaps the pastor had written the sermon with you in mind, and you wonder how many other people in the congregation know that this was written about you. That's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He is singling people out in his sermon, making them the subject, the object, the people he has helped and healed. They're easy to find. Their faces are beaming. They couldn't be happier about what Jesus has done for them. They're delighted to be the object lesson of this pastor's sermon. And so Jesus begins to explain to them what all of this means. In the Beatitudes, Jesus is describing this dramatic reversal of events that happens in our lives when Jesus brings the reign of God to us. That's what he's describing. A dramatic turnaround, a huge change. The people Jesus had helped would have seen themselves as beyond help. Luke tells us about this crowd too as he describes the Sermon on the Mount, and he gives a little briefer version. He says the people who are blessed are those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who are weeping, and those whom other people hate. The poor, the hungry, the grief-stricken, the hated. These are people who felt hopeless, people who felt passed over. They felt like they had no hope of heaven coming to help them because their lives on earth said so. Their life situation suggested that they did not matter to God. They assumed that these circumstances meant that they did not qualify for the help of heaven. So feeling hopeless or feeling passed over is something that describes most of us. When we look honestly at our lives, we have the suspicion that heaven is a long shot. It's not that we've been horrible people. Most of us are not without a conscience. It's not as if we lived without caring about the consequences of our actions, but we're aware of the ways in which we've disappointed ourselves. And we believe that God probably has higher standards than we do. So what hope of help from heaven do we actually have? When we feel like that, when we feel like we are probably hopeless and helpless too, we're like those people Jesus is describing who hunger and thirst for righteousness in the stories of their lives. These are people who hunger and thirst for a different ending to the story than what they know. They can't bear the weight of what they've done. Every day they find some reminder of their shame or their unworthiness. Every day they conclude that they have no reason to hope for much more than simply getting by. We've all known that feeling. It's one time or another. We've known what it's like to wish there was some way to undo the choices we've made, or some way to wipe away the imprint of those memories in our hearts and minds, some way to begin a day with hope for something new rather than the weight of what we've done. To people like us, to people who felt hopeless, Jesus is promising, you will be filled up with all the rightness of God. Come and follow me into this life that only God can give. None of this changing the course of our lives is all that new. God has been reversing the fortunes of his people single-handedly, undeservedly from the very beginning of the Bible. In fact, that is the summary of the story of the Bible, is that God changes the destiny of hopeless and hapless people. We've seen it demonstrated countless times for the nation of Israel, but now we see it demonstrated in the lives of ordinary people, you and me. The kingdom of God coming to people who could not help themselves, and they're being brought under the reign of God that changes everything. One thing I've missed before as I've thought about these Beatitudes is just how these preposterous and ridiculous dramatic changes are tied directly to Jesus. They're linked to him. Ridiculous is a good term to describe the kinds of changes Jesus is promising. I've been training with a running group this summer and early fall. I'm raising money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and one of the women on my team made a comment at the beginning of the season that she thought exercise was ridiculous. That just kind of stuck with me. I think it was ridiculous for her to imagine herself exercising, and yet she's been doing it, and she's training for a half marathon. She's actually been involved with this program for quite a while. She and her husband gave birth to a child in October of 2003 named Milena. And she was a happy, healthy baby until about her third month birthday. They took her to the doctors and she was sick, and she was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. She was so sick that they told her she might not make it through that night. So they called all their family and broke that news to them, and they came, and fortunately she did make it through that night, and what she needed was a bone marrow transplant, which is often the treatment for blood cancers. To be ready for that, it took 4 months of chemotherapy and full body radiation, and she contracted all kinds of respiratory problems along the way, but she had a successful transplant in June of that year. And everything seemed to be going well until she went into distress. And she died that October, or that September, at 10 months. Her parents are Christians. And they found comfort for their grief in Jesus. He's come to them and he's helped change that story. They've been remembering their daughter by working to raise money through the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and with the help of several teams, have raised over $100,000 thus far to help her memory. And Jesus is bringing his unspeakable comfort to their unspeakable grief. The reason we're blessed is because of Jesus. All these blessings are tied to him and what he brings to these circumstances we don't want in life. Jesus brought this to them. He healed them. He delivered them from the control of evil spirits. He cleansed their skin. He restored their sight. He enabled them to walk without crutches. He straightened their backs. He relieved them of seizures. He brought the reign of heaven to their circumstances on earth, and it was all bound up in him. He was enacting the help of God because he was God. This is a change of how we sometimes have interpreted the Beatitudes, how I've interpreted them. I've often understood them as blessings that are inherent in the hardships. In other words, I understood them as saying, you are blessed because you are meek. Now, being meek was not fun. Being meek was to be a shy and powerless person who was unassertive, the kind of person who steps off the sidewalk when someone comes their way as if this is the only right thing to do. And to say that we're blessed because of these circumstances is to say you will find a redemptive piece of gold in the bottom of being stepped on or pushed aside or passed over. It's there if you look for it. And that blessing will make it all worthwhile. In fact, the blessing of being meek is so good, we should all aspire to it, to being meek. That's often how we interpret the Beatitudes. But Jesus is saying just the opposite. He's not asking for us to become poor or broken or shattered by grief or beat up by bullies or weighed down by the weight of our sin. In fact, just the opposite. He's promising to rescue us, to lift us from those experiences. Because of the great reversing reign of God brought to our doorstep in Jesus. Because he'll change our lives, our destinies, and the end of our stories. He offers us the opportunity to live under the shelter of the reign of God now. We know this is true because Jesus is saying it's these people who were hopeless and helpless that he rescued. It's these people who've been stepped around and stepped over, to whom Jesus now calls to be salt and light. Their lives have been changed. The whole world needs to know that God can do this. And so they are to let their new light shine so that others can know the reign of God. So Jesus is really saying, it's you people who are the salt and the light. You've experienced the help of God. Your light is your story. What has Jesus done for you? How is it living in the reign of God? That's your good news. That's your light. Let it shine. Jesus is saying that we can go confidently to any person in need and say to them, the kingdom of God has come close to you in the person of Jesus. Let him do amazing things in your story. We don't know how he will help. We just know that he will intervene. And we have the evidence of that from our own lives and from the miracles that Jesus did and from these blessings he announced as he promised the reign of God, the presence of God. Good news. No matter our circumstances that seem to exclude us from the help of God, God's help comes in the person of Jesus right where he finds us in those circumstances. Let's pray together. Help us, Lord, to see you with that grin on your face, this joy of what you're able to offer us. Help us to see that this moment, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves that seem to be defining us or defining our future, circumstances that weigh us down and have a sense that we will never get beyond them. And yet there you are with your joy, calling us blessed, not because of where we are, but because you're coming to us with your help. May that hope and that certainty give room for a smile to begin in our lives, even now, as we wait for your help and your assistance. It's already been mentioned today, Lord, how upside down the world is, how the reign of evil seems to have the upper hand. And yet there you are walking in those same people's stories like ours, bringing the reign of God subversively under the radar, changing stories, claiming destinies in ways that the world can't even see. And that's how you work. Work that way in us today, we pray. Amen.